Just so grateful for how you do come to break every chain. How you come to take a hold of our lives and to change us forever for your glory and for your honor and for your praise, so that we might truly give witness the rest of our lives of how great you are. Not by just words, but by deeds and life, to give witness to the great God, you, oh God. And I pray, God, as we open the word, that our hearts would be ready to receive the word and plant it, that gives grace and gives life. And I pray for life today, that we'd move from this place living life as you ordained it, as you called us to it. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Yoked to Jesus. Yoked to Jesus. It's the call of God. We saw it last week. It's on the screen, or it'll be on the screen in just a second. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke, it's an easy yoke. My burden is a light burden. This is the promise of God. This is what we find in the Greek language, in a tense that says, hey, this is an imperative here. You want to find rest? It's imperative that you come to me in your weariness and in your heavy laden, and whatever the burden and whatever the thing that you're carrying, you come to me. It's imperative that you do this. Now, this isn't an imperative where he comes along and points his finger at you and just gets all over you like that. No, this is an imperative. It is, you've got to come do this. You've got to come. It's the only way to find rest. It's the only way to find life. It's the only way to find what you've been looking for all your life. It's found in me. Come to me. And when you come to me, I'm going to give you the rest that you need. But you've got to take my yoke. And to take the yoke of Christ means that you have to let go of the yoke you're carrying. To be yoked to Jesus. Yoked to him. You know, I look at our lives, and we look at the breadth and the length of our lives, and we come to Christ, and we come to him with such great joy and such great expectation, with such great just resolve. And then one day we wake up and we realize we're yoked to something other than Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, it was for freedom that God called you, brethren, so don't be subject again to a yoke of slavery. To be yoked to Jesus and to get into life with him doesn't mean that you don't have the propensity, or you don't have the possibility of strain and getting yoked to something else. I was called to ministry when I was 10 years old. We woke up one day realizing I was yoked to a fear, and a fear of dying, and a fear of dying young. And that thing, I was just yoked to it. If you've been here any length of time, you know that I usually talk about it in the terms of a dog choke chain, where it's just around my neck. And I'd walk along, and all of a sudden something would prompt me, and all of a sudden I just would go that way. And it was becoming more and more as I was approaching 30 years old. Almost a daily thing. Pastoring this church in 1986 and 87. And I was yoked to that thing. And it took me to the places I didn't want to go in my mind. And matter of fact, and a lot of you have heard this story before. I'm not going to get into detail of it. But I just want you to know. February of 1987, with the help of two men, I got that yoke off me. Or better yet, Jesus took that yoke off of me. Listen, you can be yoked to something other than Christ today. Be his child. You can be yoked to it. And you know, when I think about it, I look about and I think, as we talked about this last week with the first question of a new year, is what are you yoked to? And that message seemed to resonate with you. It resonates with me. Because, you know, oftentimes we are yoked to the things we think are going to make us happy and satisfied. Or we often are yoked to the things that we feel is the answer to our question or the solution to our problem. And there lies the problem. We think and we feel instead of moving in the direction of knowing what we know about Scripture. And you know, you just can't live life by your feeling. You can't just live your life by what you think. Because you and I are fallen. And the enemy can give you a feeling and the enemy can give you a thought that you think's just okay. It's just right. And so when we look at the thought of being yoked to Jesus, there's a couple of things. You've got to be, when you yoke yourselves to Jesus, you'll be yoked to his way. You'll be yoked to his spirit and you'll be yoked to his word. Very important. Very important. Now, I was looking at my notes this morning early and that's where I was wanting to go. But I'm going to tell you, that's about three messages. So I'm going to go just to the first point and kind of expand of where we were last week. Listen, to be yoked to Jesus is to be yoked to his way. And the only way that you get on his way is by faith. The Bible says, and if you'll just put that up there, we looked at it last week, the next scripture. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. And the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Do you know how you sometimes can come to determine that what you're doing is right? It's because few people are doing that very thing. Did you hear what I just said? Because few people do the right thing in this life. Oh, I mean, there's some folks who make good decisions. But the Bible says here, Matthew says it, or he's quoting Jesus, there's a narrow gate, and then there is a wide gate. The wide gate is broad, it leads to destruction, and there are many who are entering through that. Many. And then, yet the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. You want to know the right thing usually? It's according to his word, and there's not many people in this world following it. They're following the wide road. They're following the feeling. They're following what they think. They're following according to the flesh, to the carton. And how many of us have done that in this life? How many of us have been tempted with that this week, and we've placed our foot in it this week? We've crossed the threshold of doing what I feel, and it doesn't line up with the word of God. Do it all the time. We do it all the time. And so when you look at Scripture in the theme of Scripture, especially when you go back to Matthew 12, 28, he says, listen, I want to give you rest. And all these things that the world wants you to be yoked to will never give you rest. It'll give you worry. It'll give you anxiety. It'll give you stress. It'll keep you up at night. It'll give you ulcers. Right? You've been there? Yoked to something else that's taking the places that you don't want to be and that God never intended for you to be. I'm going to just tell you, it's exhausting to do life that way. It'll exhaust you. Can I get an amen to that one? Amen. Can I get another one? Amen. Amen. How many of you have been exhausted doing your thing your way and not God's way? Thank you. I have. I have while I've been your pastor. And it's just exhausting. It's just exhausting. And I don't know about you, but I'm just over the past few weeks thinking of this spiritual warfare thought, I just don't want to be yoked to that stuff anymore. I want to be yoked to Jesus. Because, you know, when you're yoked to Jesus, you're on the way that leads to life. And you're seeing things happen in your life that's just wonderful. In this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7 that was on the screen, there's two ways and there's two choices. And the choice that leads to life will always appeal to the spirit, but the way that leads to death will always appeal to your flesh. Always. And there's nothing you want in your flesh. There's just nothing. There's just nothing. Now God comes to change. God comes to move. Now, I want to look at Numbers chapter 13 this week. Go to Numbers chapter 13. And we talked last week about how the scripture is just absolutely totally laced with the thought of choosing either one or two ways. Either one or two ways. And I mentioned this in passing. It took about 3-4 minutes to tell you the story, but I want to get into this story today. Now, you see, what happens is that when God delivers Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, where they've been for 400 years, with mighty, mighty works, 10 plagues, I mean, the waters parting, the Pharaoh's armies drowned, and they get out, okay? They get out of that. They get out of Egypt, and the Bible says they start grumbling and complaining immediately, okay? Immediately. Grumbling and complaining about the circumstances. Questioning the love of God, the work of God, the movement of God. That's what happens when you grumble and complain. You question the God who's in control of your life and loves you beyond anything that you could ever imagine. That's what grumbling is. And that's what they do. And God says to Moses, look, I want you to take the leaders of the 12 tribes and I want you to, these 12 men, and I want you to send them into the promised land. Does that tell you this? When you come to Christ, you get to face the promised land. That's where we're going. We're going to the promised land. We're going to a land that flows with milk and honey. We're moving to the land of rest. God's rest. Not these burdens, not these yokes of slavery from Egypt, not the yoke of fear, not the yoke of lust, not the yoke of greed, not the yoke of hurt feelings, not the yoke of anxiety, the yoke of rest, the yoke of God. That's where we're heading. That's where we're moving. And when you get out of Egypt and God saves you, listen, you got to get out of Egypt. You can't stay there. You can't stay there in bondage. You're going to get out and you're going to go to this place. Now, when you look at the map, I mean, it's just a skip and a jump to the promised land. Boom, boom. Just, you know, I'm not asking you to look at your maps, but sometimes look at your map. And you look at Egypt and then you look at the promised land. It's boom, boom. Just a couple of days' journey. It's just close. And they could have been there in a few days. So God says, hey, get you 12 spies, get you 12 guys, the leaders of the tribes, the leader of Ephraim, the leader of Judah, the leader of Issachar, I mean, all those guys, and you send them out and you let them spy the land. And they go out and they spy the land. Verse 25, when they return from spying out the land, at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back a word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we went into the land where you sent us and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Well, that's a positive word. There's a land over there flowing with milk and honey. There's a land of fruitfulness, the land of rest. And they go and they come back and say, God's right. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a great land. It's fertile. It's a land of increase. It's a land of life. It's green. It's lush. And matter of fact, look at the fruit we're bringing back. It's just huge. Let me tell you something. When you come to Jesus, that's where you're headed. You're headed to that promised land. Problem with most of us, we haven't been taught that. Jesus, you've heard me say this before, I'll say it again. I've said it a bunch of times here lately. Jesus doesn't come into your life to lay dormant and powerless. and wait till you die one day and you get to go to the promised land. No, Jesus comes into your life to take away that sin and destroy the works of the devil, crush his head, and bring you to a place of absolute total rest in Christ. Total rest. I mean, let me say something. 2 weeks ago, if you were here last week, you heard me say in the third point, which we'll get to here in a couple of months. Promise. We'll get there. Why aren't you warring like you used to war? God asked me. That's all he asked me. I knew what he meant. I knew what he said. That I walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh. And I said last week, I told you, I said, we've been praying a lot. My wife and Johnny and I have been praying more than we've ever prayed in our lives together. But we haven't been warring. And I knew what he meant. And so I got to warring again. You know, just like that first verse of scripture. Depart from me, all who do wicked. Listen, I realized something this week that I've known all these years since I was 27 years old. That God gives you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means will injure you. When he says that you can tread upon serpents and scorpions, he's not talking about critters. What? Amen. He's talking about the enemy. Because when they come back, Jesus says something great. They say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And what did he say? Behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Let me tell you this. God wants to see Satan in your life fall like lightning. Today. Today. Question is, am I going to keep being yoked to these things and yoked to what the world says I need to be yoked to? Or am I going to be yoked to what God says? To what God says. And when you look at this passage of Scripture, and we get back to it here, I'm just going to tell you, it's everything that God says it was. And I'm going to tell you something. When you read Scripture about the Christian life, it's everything that God says it was. Now let me tell you something. When I started warring, Johnny and I both, I'm going to tell you, there's been some hard things come our way. There's been some hard things come our way last two weeks. And I just want you to know, I told Johnny Ann this last night, she's in Austin right now. And I was on the phone, and she was talking about, gosh. So let me say this. Let me say this. I said this last night. Today, you might not believe this because I'm crying, but I'm going to tell you. I don't think I've ever had a sense, greatest sense of well-being than I have right now, right here. You know that great hymn, "It is well with my soul." That means that you have the sense of well-being, that no matter what the enemy's doing and no matter what the enemy's producing, no matter what's coming your way, you've got this sense of well-being in your heart. Why? Because it is well. It is well. And I'm not shrinking back. I am not shrinking back. We will not shrink back. We talked about this in the elders, not specifically like this, but I just want you to know you've got leadership, staff, warring for you. Warring for the kingdom of God. And I'm just going to tell you this. The enemy doesn't want you to enjoy a sense of well-being. He doesn't want you to have that peace. He doesn't want you to find that love. He doesn't want you to find that patience. He doesn't want you to find all the fruit of this kingdom of God that God has said. This is your fruit. I mean, they come back with physical fruit that they can't. I mean, they're just overloaded. Well, guess what? The fruit of the kingdom is not fruit you can see with your eyes and you can't eat it with your mouth, but you can taste it with your soul. Every one of us in here come to this world wanting to be loved and to love. Every one of us in this world want to have peace. We want to walk in joy. Is that right? And you know what? When we get impatient, we want to be patient. And we want to walk in kindness. And we want to be a part of a people who are kind and gentle and faithful. And I don't know about you, but I want to practice self-control. When I don't practice self-control, all kinds of stuff starts happening to me. Physically and emotionally. When these folks went into the promised land and brought this fruit back, it was theirs. Let me tell you, when you choose the way that leads to life, all that fruit is yours. And you get so much love and so much joy. Oh my, listen to me, so much peace, so much patience, so much life that you got to have somebody else carry it with you. You got to leave some of it at home. It's just so overwhelming with the Spirit of God. It just is. We'll talk about that next time, about being yoked to the Spirit and seeing how that happens. But these folks come back, these spies come back, and I'm just telling you, they're on the verge. I mean, they can just see. I mean, they're right there at the Jordan River, and they can just see the beauty of it. And these folks come back after 40 days and say, it is. But look at verse 28. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And Amalek, oh, you've heard us talk about Amalek. They're living in the land of the Negev. And you remember those Hittites and those Jebusites and those Amorites? They're living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea. And by the side of the Jordan. Now, let me tell you something, what's happening here. They're saying, listen, yeah, God said it's fruitful, but there's no way we can ever have the abundant life. Because the opposition of the enemy is just too big for us. I'm going to tell you this. This is a lie to the enemy, and you hear it all the time. You can't be free. You got to be getting your head beat in the rest of life. Your marriage can't be restored. It's too done. And I want to just tell you this. All these things are just lies of the enemy. And he's not only lied to you, but he'll inoculate you with the feeling and think that you're right. And all you're doing is breeding destruction to the people that you love. Because I want to tell you, we'll see this in a few minutes. Faith will always breed on obedience. And I'm just going to tell you what I mean by obedience. God comes and says, here's my instruction, and you just follow it. But unbelief, a spirit of unbelief in your life, will always produce a disobedience. We see in Scripture. We see in Scripture. We're going to see it right here. God says, listen, you're gonna go this. Well, what happens is the crowd is starting to stir. They're hearing the bad word. They're given a bad word. They gave a great word, and then they change it to a bad word. And the bad words is, we can't go. They're huge. They're big. I mean, they're great. There's just no way. And then Caleb stands up. Quiet the people. Quick, Caleb went. He said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. Hey, that's a refrigerator verse. Hey, you know what I'm talking about, refrigerator verse, right? Every time you open it, you see that verse. That's a refrigerator verse. I have a refrigerator verse. It's from Acts. It says, rise up and eat. No, I'm only kidding. Amen. Yeah, I like that one too. That's what God said to Peter, rise up and eat. Okay. It's a refrigerator verse. Why is that? Because what we're doing here is we're hearing what God says about the abundant life, about the Christian life, about the land of rest, the season of rest, the season of well-being. I'm not talking about your problems disappearing. I'm talking about the problem in your heart disappearing. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about everything can be going to hell around you, and you're not up in arms with everybody else. You got a peace on you. You got a joy on you. You got a fellowship. Why? Because you know where you're going. That's why. And you know where you've been. And you know what? Caleb and Joshua, they have this great vision. They see it. They've heard God. They've heard God's word. And they're saying, hey, you got to be quiet here, guys, because I'm going to tell you, we should go do it. We should go do that. Chapter 13, verse 30. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people. They're too strong for us. So they gave out the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out. And the land through which we have gone and spied out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in the men are of great size. We saw the Nephilim of the sons of Anak. We became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. If God says that you can do it, I don't care what's the obstacle. By God's grace and God's mercy and God's presence, it will be done for you. Amen. Because God says it. But the way's narrow. You've got 12 men and 2 men are choosing life and 10 are not. And the 10 are going to take the whole adult population with them. Let me ask you something. Do you want that on your hands? That you have an opportunity to take your kids into the promised land, but you're not going to do it because you're going to live another way? Do you want that on your hands? Listen, there is a land. And it is for you and for me, and it's found through Christ. The gate is Jesus. It's the only way. It's narrow, but you can get through it. It is perilous, but you get through it. It's not a hunky-dory Candyland kind of game. Oh, it's life. It's warfare. But I tell you, there's nothing like its fruit. There's nothing like it. You know, verse 14, chapter 1, I'm sorry, chapter 14, verse 1, it's my dyslexic. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, watch this, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? And so they said to one another, let's appoint a leader and return to that pit. Dog chain. Yoke. Let's get a yoke here that somebody will take us back to the pit. Take us back to slavery. Take us back to bondage. Take us back to the trouble. Let's just go back to Egypt. Let me tell you, every time you say no to God, you're looking for another way to get back to Egypt. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing you want in Egypt. There's nothing you want in hell. There's nothing you want in the pit. There's nothing there for you. Get the yoke off of you. Or let Jesus take the yoke off of you and get yoked to Jesus. Get yoked to him. You know, Paul said this to the New Testament believers. He says, you know, there's some of you here that you want to get for yourself teachers so they'll tickle your ear and tell you what you want to hear. Same thing. Don't be yoked to ear ticklers. Don't be yoked to that. You be yoked to God and his ways and what God says is his way. And it may seem hard, and it is hard to the flesh, but I want to tell you, through Jesus, it is, he says it, not me. It's light, and there's no really burden to it. You know when you find that out? Let me tell you when you find that out. You find that out when you finally cross over the threshold. You finally cross over Jordan, and you start marching. And you start moving, and you start warring, and you start doing these things that God, you get to God's great rest. Now, I want you to know what happens here. It's not a pretty picture. I'm going to tell you, Look at verse 5. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation. Joshua the son of Nun, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. They spoke to all the congregation, the sons of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into that land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. But please do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land. They will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Because we're not going to have it. I've seen that before. I haven't seen anybody pick up a stone, throw it at me. But I've had people speak it to me. I'm not going to listen to this. I'm not going to listen to this word. This is too burdensome. Let me tell you something. John said it in 1 John. It's not a burden. You're making it a burden. It's not a burden. Listen, to do what God wants you to do is a pleasure. It is a joy. You find what you've always been looking for. And you know, if you're in Jesus, you got it. You got it. But you've just got to get with it. Hey, that's pretty, tweet that. You got it, you got to get with it. Do y'all know what I'm talking about, some of you? We got it. And I knew, listen, I knew when God said, "Hey, why aren't you worn the way you wore?" I knew exactly what he meant. I didn't feel condemnation. I didn't feel guilt. God didn't do that to me. I felt, oh gosh, where have I been? And I knew. You know, there's just some things that you know what you need to do. Is that right? You know, I'm not saying this for any reason because it could all change next week, but I've lost about 16 pounds since Thanksgiving. Let me tell you, I realized something. I know how to lose weight. I know how to gain it, but I know how to lose it. I know what works. I know when God said, "Why aren't you warring?" I know how to war. I know how to war. You know what's right. You know what you need to do if you're in Christ. You know what you need to do. And I'm begging you, not on my knees, to consider that whatever is the chain in your life right now, and whatever you're being yoked to, because I want to tell you, all of Israel got yoked to 10 men, and the whole adult population missed it and didn't get the rest, didn't go into the rest until 40 years later. 40 years later, they'll go. Matter of fact, in the next passage, you have to read it when you get home because we're running out of time. We're out of time. But y'all still seem attentive, so I'll keep going a little bit. But I was just supposed to say, you read it. Do you know what he says? He says, "You said that your kids are going to be plunder. Let me tell you, your kids are going to go in and they're going to get the land. They're going to find the rest. They're going to do the war. And they're going to go into that place and they're going to multiply. But you're going to miss it. Because you did not obey me." Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to ask the ushers to come on forward in morning offering. And Shelley asked if we needed music. I said, no, I'll just finish up. So I'm going to finish up. So offering, come on up. And I'm going to pray for it. And while you're getting your money out, turn to Hebrews 3. Okay. By the way, thank you so much for your gifts. Thank you so much for being obedient. You know, that's another thing. When you're obedient, the God's ways, I mean, you just can't help but find promised land. I mean, you just can't help. Okay. Let me pray for this. Lord, I pray for this offering. I ask in Jesus' name that you'd bless it. You'd bless the gift. You'd bless the giver. I thank you, Father, that we would give cheerfully, hilariously is what the scripture says, that we would laugh when we give, even when we think we don't have it to give. But because you say to give the first and give the best, and Lord, we might look at the way that the things are, but Lord, when we do it your way and we see what you see and we do what you say, God, you just bless. And so let us give today heartedly unto the Lord with great laughter and great expectation. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Hebrews talks about this passage of scripture. And it's Hebrews chapter 3, okay? So if you So if you turn there, watch what he says, verse 12. Therefore, take care that there be not in any one of you an evil and unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, for as long as it's still called a day, so that none of us or none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Because we become partakers of Christ if we hold fast. You know another way to say that? If we keep yoked. If we hold fast the beginning of our assurance from the end. And he says, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? Now, notice what he says next. So we see that they were not able to enter because of what? Unbelief. And this is what I want to finish this morning. You can be yoked to a spirit of belief in Christ, or you can be yoked to a spirit of unbelief. God has promised victory, rest, fruit, increase. I'm not talking prosperity gospel here. I'm talking about a gospel that fills your soul and prospers your soul. And if you get prosperous the other way, fine. But I want to tell you, you can have a prosperous soul and live over amongst the honey, the poorest among the poor, and be the richest people on the mountain. And I'm not talking about with money. Listen. They fell because they didn't believe. And because they didn't believe, they became disobedient. Unbelief produces disobedience. Faith will always, always produce obedience. And let me tell you what obedience, again, it's not do this or else. It's, hey, you got to do this. You just got to do it. It's great. I mean, here's the instruction. Follow the instruction. Follow it and watch fruit come out of your life. Watch fruit, all the things that you've always been looking for, come out of your life. It's how we choose the right way. One other thing, one thing about it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 18, don't be yoked to ungodly people. Don't be unequally bound with unbelievers. Let me tell you what happened on that at the banks of the Jordan that day. There were 10 unbelievers, and there were 2 believers. And the congregation yoked themselves to the 10 unbelievers and didn't find rest. Yoke yourself to people who believe the awesome promises of God. Amen. Amen. Be yoked to people who believe. All right. Stand with me. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of us should come to short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith of those who heard. For those who have believed enter that rest. That's what he said. Those children of Israel on the banks of the Jordan had the gospel preached to them. And they did not unite the gospel with faith. If you're here today, I'm going to tell you, the gospel is being preached to you to say that in Christ there's no other way. If you want to still live after your flesh, go on, but you're going to keep getting your head beat in. I'm saying that he is the only way to heaven. He's the only way to salvation. He's the only way to rest. The only way. There's no other way. This is the way, he says, walk in it. And he'll do that when you're 8, when you come to Christ, when you're 15, when you're 35, having come to Christ at your 8, at 57, at 68, at 101, God willing. He'll keep showing you the way to live. Will you believe, and will you listen and follow him on the way that leads to life? The Lord bless you the Lord make his face shine upon you. Yeah. You raise your hand. You don't have to. I'm not making you this time. Okay. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. May he guard your going out and your coming in. May he protect your household this week. May there be nothing but love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control as you choose the good way, the right way, God's way. I pray a spirit of belief on us, and I ask, O Lord, that you'd remove a spirit of unbelief. May we enter his rest this week. I hope that you come back and say, I've been the busiest I've ever been, but I've had the biggest rest of my life. Amen? Amen. All right, go do it.